Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Back from one of his legendary brothers' trips. How was Pinehurst?
Pinehurst was fantastic.
Did you get good weather?
We had great weather. Great weather every day. Rained in the evening, so it was awesome. And, yeah, we had great weather and it was a great time.
Did you see our old friend Peter?
We did see Peter. Actually got to play with Peter. And David threw 5 birdies at us with Peter as his partner, so Brad and I got our whooping. But
little brother David's playing that well.
Yeah, how about that? 5 birdies on the first day.
Obviously not working much.
Exactly.
Wow, very impressive. Well, glad you had a good time. By the way, if you're interested in any real estate in Pinehurst, Doc now owns all of it. He's the Donald Trump of Pinehurst, but I mean that in a positive way. And he'll be happy to talk deal with you. Who knew you were going to get into real estate, you baron, you mogul?
Yep, brilliance.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. All right, Doc, what's the topic of the day?
Well, I'd like to talk about 2 things. One is a big research project, and then one is something that's going to really start bothering people probably this week, and that's springtime allergies are big right now. So you go where you want to go.
Well, the allergy thing is a big deal. Let me start one of the basics. How do I know if it's an allergy or a cold?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question that people often ask. And usually what I'll tell them is, do you have a fever? Are there more symptoms than just what you expect to see with your allergies? Your runny nose, your kind of itchy eyes, your sneezing. You know, do you feel bad? Do you feel really tired? Do you have body aches? And the other thing is, a cold's going to last you 7 to 10 days. Allergies are going to last you, unfortunately, until whatever you're allergic to has decreased as far as its counts.
Do you believe in a daily prophylactic over-the-counter allergy med?
Absolutely. You know, allergies, our big thing is let's try to control the symptoms as much as we can. And the symptoms from allergy are caused by the release of histamine in our body. And if we can block the release of histamine, then you don't have much symptoms. So I always tell people, if you know what you're allergic to, start those antihistamines 2 weeks before the allergies actually start, and you're going to do much better. So we're trying to block the symptoms. Would you rather block them before you have them, or would you try to slow them down after they occur?
Got one you like better than the others? Allegra, Zizol, all the ones that are out there?
Yeah, you know, that's the interesting thing. You know, we used to just have Benadryl, and 50 milligrams of Benadryl is called a nap. You know, you'd fall asleep right after that. So now with in the 90s, we brought out Zyrtec and Allegra and Claritin. Those are the ones that you got to figure out, okay, which one is going to work for me? So you might have to try them. And they say, should I take Claritin or Claritin D, Allegra or Allegra D? People that can block those symptoms early don't need the decongestant portion of it. They just need the antihistamine. If you're trying to play catch-up, then you take the antihistamine along with the decongestant.
So the D, don't take the D unless you need it.
Correct. Yep.
All right.
Take a decongestant if you don't need it. Yep.
Any interactions with other meds? Should you check with your pharmacist before you take these, or are they generally pretty safe with everything?
No, they're pretty safe, but absolutely check. You know, we used to be that these medications were prescription only, but now that they're over the counter, your doctor may not even know you're taking them. So he's going and changing blood pressure medicine or diabetes medicine or whatever, and he doesn't even know that you're taking them unless you give him that information. So the big thing is to make sure that you check with either the pharmacist or your doctor and say, hey, I am taking these. Is it going to interact with anything? If you don't want to check with them, there's plenty of websites where you can go on and put drug interactions. Add the drugs that you're in, add your new antihistamine drug, and see if you have any problems.
Doc, as we get older, can allergies appear and present themselves in different ways every year? In other words, like some years I get a headache, other years I get a stuffy nose, other years I get runny eyes. Can they differ? And do you have to go to an allergist to pinpoint exactly where they're coming from and what medicine you should take?
Yeah. So as far as the symptoms, it can vary whichever way. You get some pine pollen or some tree pollen in your eyes are going to tear more. You breathe them in because you happen to have them in your backyard, you're going to get more of the respiratory. And you actually made a good point. Now, what am I actually allergic to? So some people say, I don't care what I'm allergic to, I just want the medication. Other people say, I want to know what I'm allergic to. And I always give the analogy, let's say you're allergic to trees, and you're doing, you know, you're planting trees in your backyard. Do you want to plant the three trees that you're allergic to make sure that you're going to get allergy yeah. symptoms, or are you going to try to avoid those?
That's when I stopped having people plant cats. Oh. In my back, because you know, being allergic to cats,
that'd be a problem.
Dave?
Yeah, Doc, to what extent, just to follow up on what Andre asked, to what extent does your body's reaction to certain allergies change as you get older? I mean, is it true you would be less allergic to something potentially in your 60s than you were to that same substance when you were in your 30s or 40s?
So when Dave hits puberty, is it going to change?
Dave, it's actually interesting what you just said, is because what's cool is if you think about people that get allergy shots, what happens is we start at a low dose and then increase our dose up so that people can tolerate it. The same thing happens with age. You start to get a little bit more tolerant as you age. So you start to see that your allergies are really bad as you're younger, and then as you age, you're not outgrowing the allergies. It's just that your body has kind of built up a tolerance and is a little bit used to them. So it actually will decrease a little bit. That's why if you go into an allergist or an ENT office, often it's filled with kids versus people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s.
The tree pollen thing and the air quality counts are a big deal to meteorologists. Should we pay attention to those as people?
Yep. You know, if you look at all the phone apps right now, are going to tell you, you know, I looked this morning, you know, tree pollen is high right now, birch, maples, poplars, cottonweed. You're going to look at those because if you know what you're allergic to, as you see those counts come down, you can stop the antihistamine. You don't need to take it year round if you're not allergic to things that are not around. So if you're allergic to birch or maple trees, you know you're going to need this here for the next couple of weeks. But after that, why take a medication? Why spend the money for something that you don't need?
And I feel for allergists, but I also feel for people that have to go. Amy has gone to an allergist a million times. It's not an exact science. It's not so easy when everything in the world could be causing the problem. And that's why the testing is so extensive, right, Doug?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and we are. We're exposed to so many things in the environment right now, and a lot of them are not quote-unquote natural. But the ones that are natural, you know, we'll test for those. And the allergist is going to say, you know, unfortunately, you're allergic to tree, grass, and, you know, dander or cat dander. And it's like, I'm sorry, you are one of these people that don't have a cat. You know, go to Arizona and your allergies are going to be fine. But if you stay in a local area with the trees that you're going to have here, you're going to have symptoms year-round, and you are someone that's going to need to be on those medications.
All right, we'll take a break and figure out what's coming up here at 7. But last question on this before we come back to talk about that research you mentioned. Flonase, is that a step up from the meds before?
Well, Flonase is actually, you know, it's a steroid spray that's going to help take down inflammation in your nose, and it's going to allow you to breathe much easier. So Flonase is definitely there, again, if you haven't stopped the symptoms. So using Flonase with the antihistamine is going to block, you know, the release of histamine, and Flonase is going to take down inflammation and take away some of those symptoms. So often used together, Flonase alone is not going to block antihistamine, so you will have symptoms, but this is going to make them a little bit more tolerable.
Can you still get addicted to nasal sprays, or is that over?
Well, you know, the nasal sprays that you got addicted to, you know, are not the Flonase ones. So those are the steroid ones. Those are the ones that are good. The the nasal spray. But those are the ones that cause vasoconstriction, and those are the ones that you can get addicted to. And I will remember the name. I can't
even. Is that like Afrin? Is that it?
Afrin, exactly. Yep. So
the idea is if you use Afrin over and over again, your nose will get used to only working if you're using Afrin.
Correct. And then when you stop, then the blood vessels again will start to expand, and now you'll have a, what we call rebound effect, where it's actually even worse than it was before.
So, not good. We'll take a break. Only got about a minute here with Doc, but I want him to update on the All of Us research program. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this about a month ago. You know, this is probably one of the biggest health initiatives that everyone can participate in, and hopefully people will. When we look at personalized medicine or precision medicine, what we're trying to do is we're trying to capture a million people's information here. You know, tell us more about how you live. Tell us about your lifestyle. Tell us about your environment, your genetics, and we're going to take some blood from you. And what this is going to allow is going to allow us to figure out how can we find medicines that work easier, quicker? How can we prevent medication, or excuse me, prevent illness? So it's something that's a nationwide initiative, and it's kicking off this weekend. We've been running beta sites at Northwestern and UIC and Rush, and now it's going to be kicking off on Sunday at Millennium Park, Sunday, May 6th, from 11 to 5. But this is an opportunity for everyone to change how healthcare is going to be delivered in the future and how, you know, I'll give you an example, right? I have high blood pressure. You have high blood pressure. We both take the same medicine. Mm-hmm. My blood pressure is fine. Yours is not. Mm-hmm. Why? Why is that? So what we're going to do, in order to do this, we need a big database. So this is the start of it, and it's very fascinating, and hopefully, you know, hopefully everyone steps up in Chicago.
You can be a part of it.
Yeah, we should be able to collect easily a quarter of a million people here.
JoinAllOfUs.org, J-O-I-N, JoinAllOfUs.org is the website. Doc, of course, is always sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better healthcare starts here.